What is going on, Pooj Crew? Thank you for being here for episode 119 of the Poojie Podcast. Today, we'll be taking a look at the Week 13 matchup between the Jaguars and the LA Rams out on the West Coast, a 4:05 kickoff on Fox. So keep that in mind on Fox, third straight game on Fox. Actually, if you're listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, feel free to follow us on Spotify. Find us on your preferred podcast streaming platform to listen to us on the go. If you're already listening to us on Spotify and want to see the video elements or comment your thoughts, have some time at home to watch, go find us on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel for more content. But thank you nonetheless for being here, no matter how you are watching episode 119. I'm looking forward to diving into this episode. Jaguars coming off a week 12 loss to the Atlanta Falcons, 21-14. But first and foremost, I do want to start off with a story that hits close to home for me. And I know a lot of listeners out there, a lot of UCF fans, football fans in general, everyone by now has heard the story of UCF star running back Otis Anderson, who was fatally shot and killed a few days ago by his own father, actually. Unfortunate situation there. Very senseless act. And Otis Anderson no longer with us. However, he did leave a lasting legacy and a lot of memories. I know for sure for the UCF fans out there, he was a big part of the UCF cultural shift that happened after the 0-12 season. Committed to UCF in 2016, started as a freshman in 2017 with Scott Frost's second year, and was a huge part of the 25-game win streak that saw the Knights win the Peach Bowl and come up just short to LSU in the Fiesta Bowl. But more than that, just a fantastic person. Had the opportunity to talk to him on multiple occasions at away games, at home games, and he was even a friend of the podcast, came on episode 21 back in June of 2020. He was one of the first UCF players I was ever able to have on the podcast, and he was gracious enough to do so. I recommend going back and watching that episode and just seeing the type of person he was. He talked so much about the change he wanted to bring to UCF and why he felt so strongly about committing there. But really just a genuine guy, played at University of Christian here in Jacksonville, Florida. So he will truly be missed by many across the state and across the football world. Recently was with the LA Rams, got cut and was on the practice squad earlier this season. So thoughts and prayers to the Anderson family. His mother was in critical condition in the hospital as well, and she has since been released, I want to say. However, she was a survivor of the incident. His mom, Denise, a great supporter of UCF athletics as well. So thoughts and prayers with Otis Anderson Jr. and the family there. But let's jump into this Week 13 matchup against the LA Rams, the Jaguars' three straight losses following the upset win against the Buffalo Bills. And this is going to be the third straight game against the NFC. Ironically enough, the Falcons game, Week 12, was the 17th game that was added to the 2021 season. The Jaguars have now lost 15 straight games to the NFC. They are 0-4 this season, and they are 0-3 this season against the NFC West. This will be the fourth and final game against the NFC West. Taking a quick look back at that Falcons game, if you watched episode 118, you knew the X factor was going to be Cordarrelle Patterson, running back, wide receiver, and now reserve safety for the Atlanta Falcons. He does it all there. He's like the utility knife, Swiss Army knife for the Atlanta Falcons. 16 carries, 108 yards, averaging 6.8 yards per attempt in two touchdowns. He really was the difference maker in this matchup. Outside of Cordarrelle Patterson, the Falcons were not able to get anything going. Wayne Gallman could not get anything going. Mike Davis could not get anything going. Their leading receiver, Russell Gage, 6 catches for 62 yards and a touchdown. Outside of Cordarrelle Patterson, the Jaguars did their part in setting up for a victory. Kyle Pitts only had 2 catches for 26 yards as well. So it's unfortunate. The Jaguars' pass defense in Week 12 looked okay as well. They allowed 190 yards, 6.6 yards per attempt in an interception, as well as the touchdown to Russell Gage. That's 4 straight games where the Jaguars secondary has allowed less than 230 yards through the air. However, this is a defense that's allowing 25.7 points per game, which ranks 26th in the NFL. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on in this matchup against the Rams. Let's get to the Rams, who are 13-point favorites here at home. Over-under is set at 47.5. We will get into the betting trends towards the end of the episode. But the Rams, my God, they are looking awful right now. They are on a 3-game losing streak, albeit to potential playoff teams, with the Tennessee Titans after the Titans lost Derrick Henry, the 49ers on Monday Night Football 31-10, and the Green Bay Packers most recently this past Sunday 36-28, where Aaron Rodgers had his way with this Rams team, who just added OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., as well as Von Miller among the many other toys they have to work with. A surprising result, the month of November, no win November, one of four teams to not win a game in November. But I do think this is important to note. If you look at the Rams schedule, they sit at 7-4. They started the season 7-1. They really only have one quality win on their schedule, and that's against Tampa Bay in week three. They won 34-24 in that week three matchup. Previously to that, they did beat the Colts 27-24 in week two, but the Colts started the season 1-4. This is not the same Colts team that we are seeing today. The Rams lost to a Colts team that was a lot worse than they are now. Colts start at 1-4, and they only won by 3, 27-24. Their other victories, I'll rattle these off for you. Their other victories, five other victories. Bears, week one, they had the Seahawks, Giants, Lions, and Texans. Those teams have combined for right around 12 total wins this season through their other five victories. And the rest of their schedule is not that favorable either for the Rams. So this is a huge game for the Rams to get to 8-4, because if they drop this game against the Jaguars, not only would it be embarrassing, almost more embarrassing than the Bills loss, because this is at Los Angeles, the Cardinals, Seahawks, Vikings, Ravens, and 49ers await the Rams following this week 13 matchup. So you're looking at four of five matchups against potential playoff teams. The Vikings could sneak in. The 49ers look like a playoff team right now. The Seahawks look like the only other walkover game in that stretch, but it is a divisional game. And who knows, by then Russell Wilson could be healthier and potentially have more firepower to beat this Rams team if they continue to slide. So this is a game they have to win if they want to continue the push towards the playoffs. They set themselves up nicely for this point in the season, but this is a point in the season where great teams dominate awful teams, and that's the type of matchup we have here. Matt Stafford is going to obviously be a huge player to watch in this game. One of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, was playing like a top 5 quarterback in the league to start the season, and has regressed a little bit to what we'll call Lions Matthew Stafford. He has not looked as sharp recently. His first 8 games this season, he was 7-1 with a 69% completion percentage, 22 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. Over his last 3 games, those last 3 losses in November, 59.5 completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So as you can tell from those statistics, the offense and the team as a whole run through the quality of Matthew Stafford's play. If Matthew Stafford is playing well, the Rams win football games. He did play well in week 12, actually. He did not have a poor game in week 12. He had 302 passing yards, 3 touchdowns and an interception, 96.6 passer rating. However, he did throw a pick six. It was his third game with a pick six in that 3-game losing streak. So again, just goes to show you he can play decent, but he has the pick six tendency that we saw him have in Detroit, the turnover prone tendency. And who knows, is this one of those, the tape is out type moments where, you know, for 8 games, Stafford and the Rams were capable of putting up points and just destroying teams. Does this have anything to do with the loss of Robert Woods? Could that have something to do with it? OBJ is a part of the team now. He had 5 catches for 81 yards and a touchdown on 10 targets in week 12, but he has not looked like OBJ of old over the last 2-3 seasons. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get OBJ involved. So those are some nuggets on the Rams. We will get into another key superstar here in a little bit, but to take a look at the Jacksonville Jaguars and specifically Trevor Lawrence, in week 12, 228 passing yards, 5.4 yards per attempt, and a 68.4 rating. He is not looking that great. However, what I will say is the Jaguars are minimizing turnovers. If there's one thing that they can write home about, Trevor Lawrence has done a decent job of late of minimizing turnovers. I believe it's only 2 turnovers over his last, or 2 interceptions over his last 5 games, 9 touchdowns on the season, 10 interceptions, 72.3 rating, 6 yards per attempt. But let's be real. He is on the worst team in the NFL besides the Lions, and maybe even worse than the Lions, just with 2 victories. This roster, this receiving core, the tight ends, not to mention Dan Arnold is now out, I think, for the season. This team is not set up for Trevor Lawrence to be successful. And what's so frustrating about that is we've seen the Jaguars front office do this in the past. We saw it with Blaine Gabbert. We saw it with Blake Bortles, where they didn't take the time to put pieces around the star quarterback. And not to say Blaine Gabbert was like Trevor Lawrence or Blake Bortles was like Trevor Lawrence, but as Jaguar fans, we have seen an obvious effort to not put pieces around these quarterbacks, not spending money in free agency, not doing the right things to put the quarterback in successful situations. And that pisses me off because Trevor Lawrence has the talent. He just needs the pieces. He played at Clemson on an offense that had multiple NFL caliber talented players, not only on the offensive line, but at position players, at skill positions as well, with T. Higgins and Justin Ross and Travis Etienne and so many more players on that Clemson offense. Trevor Lawrence needs help. He's not a miracle worker. He wasn't going to take the 1-15 Jaguars to a 9-8 record or an 8-9 record. It's just not the case. He has shown signs of progress. I am not concerned about him yet because I don't think we've had a fair assessment on the type of player he can be if he has the right pieces around him. Up to this point, he has been playing with what looks like sewage water when people are trying to expect him to be an Olympic swimmer. And that's just not fair. He doesn't have the right pieces around him. James Robinson has not been used in the right way. Only 17 carries in week 12. He had 86 yards and again, rushing for over 5 yards per carry. He has not had one game with 20 carries or more in a game. What is going on, Jacksonville? You have to run James Robinson. It has been proven James Robinson is the best player on this offense. And if you're not going to run him, you might as well tell the fan base before they show up to the game, we are attempting to lose this game. Or before they sit down and watch at 4:05 on Sunday, we are not going to try and win this game because we don't want to run James Robinson. It's that simple. There was a point in the game on Sunday against the Falcons where James Robinson, 16 straight plays following a fumble where he did not touch the field. This is a 2-8 team at the time we're talking about. We are not in a position to bench a star player for fumbling the ball. We have much more to worry about than just a fumble by the star running back, not to mention his first lost fumble in his career. Oh, and by the way, in the red zone, Dare Ogunbowale dropping a wide open touchdown, which would have brought the game back to a much more manageable score. Granted, the Jaguars had an opportunity to win at the end, but dropping touchdowns is not something a 2-8, 2-9 team can do. They just can't afford it. And to opt to run Carlos Hyde instead of James Robinson is just neglection to the best offensive player on the team. It just doesn't make sense. Urban Meyer has done a piss poor job of managing his, not the team, the coaching staff. I'm tired of hearing him after the game say, oh, I leave that up to Bevel, or I leave that up to the running backs coach. Like, I'm tired of that. You're the head coach, dude. In college, you had your hands in every single pot, not to mention probably on everybody's butt, but you had your hands everywhere in college, which is why you were so comfortable after that Cincinnati game. But get your hands some places, man. Like, make the offensive coordinator run James Robinson. Get with the running back coach. Sit Dare. Sit Carlos Hyde. I don't care. Whatever it takes to get James Robinson the ball, you have to do. Looking offensively at the wide receiver position for the Jaguars, not the greatest outing in Jacksonville, but to be honest with you, it's the epitome of Jacksonville. Laquon Treadwell, a training camp star who emerged on a poor wide receiver core, now losing without DJ Chark. Laviska Shenault has shown us his true colors. Laquon Treadwell looks like the only actual wide receiver on this team. If you look at his body size, you look at his route running, Laquon Treadwell looks like the only capable wide receiver. Marvin Jones is a great player. He's not the future of this team. He probably stick around 2-3 more years. But Laquon Treadwell, 4 catches, 53 yards in week 12. Marvin Jones, 4 catches for 43 yards. And Laviska Shenault, 5 catches, 4 of them behind the line of scrimmage, makes me sick, for 33 yards. So this is not a team offensively that can get the ball moving in the air. And quite frankly, you're not going up against a defense that's going to make it any easier on you. This defense ranks in the top half of almost every major category against passers. 87.2 passer rating allowed, which is seventh in the NFL. Rams defense, 7.1 yards per attempt, which is tied for 13th in the NFL. And 67.6 completion percentage, which is right around the 20th mark in the NFL. This team, the Rams, however, do only have 3 fumble recoveries on the year, but they do have 12 interceptions to go along with that. So Trevor Lawrence is going to have to protect the ball in this game. The defensive front for the Rams only got stronger with Von Miller. 30 sacks on the season for the Rams, tied for 5th in the NFL. That's going to be something to watch. However, the Jaguars offensive line has played decent recently. And what I will say is, if you want to take one positive away from Trevor Lawrence up to this point, he has made this offensive line look so much better than it has in the past. And he steps up in the pocket and he extends plays and he finds the open receiver. And that offensive line for the Jags looks so much better because of it. Unfortunately for Trevor Lawrence, Aaron Donald is now awaiting on the other side, and Aaron Donald does his best work up the middle. So if Trevor Lawrence is going to try and be stepping up in the pocket this game, he's going to have to meet big number 99 of the Rams. Ultimate goal for this game, get Trevor Lawrence out of this game healthy, and we would be happy. I would imagine that would be the case. So it will be an interesting matchup to watch. This is a desperate Jaguars team looking to upset the Rams. However, this is a desperate Rams team looking to get back on the right track. And the key factor in this game, the X factor, if you will, as I said with Cordarrelle Patterson last week, is Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is an absolute animal. I would rank him as a top 2 wide receiver in the league right now. Week 12, 7 catches, 96 yards on 10 targets. He has 7 catches or more in 10 of 11 games this season. And to make matters worse, 90 yards in 10 of 11 games this season. His season stats so far, 92 catches, 1,237 yards and 10 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure that's more yards than the Jaguars receivers, top 3 or 4 receivers have combined, to be honest with you. So Cooper Kupp is going to be the person to watch, especially with Shaquille Griffin not practicing on Thursday. Cooper Kupp should have some opportunities in the Jaguar secondary to make some plays, as well as Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson took an 80-yard touchdown bomb to the house against the Packers. He can stretch the field, so look for Van Jefferson to kind of assume that Robert Woods role over the middle a little bit. Cooper Kupp is definitely kind of your more finesse receiver. He likes to catch those balls in the hole and make moves up the field, yards after catch kind of guy. And then you have OBJ. We'll see what OBJ does this week. He's kind of dealing with a hip pointer injury at the moment. As for the running game for the Los Angeles Rams, not too much to be excited about for the Rams. Daryl Henderson, starting running back for the Rams, 0 100-yard games this season. He only has 1 rushing touchdown over his last 5 games. However, he does have 2 receiving touchdowns. So if you're going to block the wide receivers for the Rams, be cautious of the running backs catching the ball out of the backfield for the Rams. And this Jaguars defense just allowed 6.8 yards per attempt to Cordarrelle Patterson. So they're going to need to buck up in this. They are still only allowing 4 yards per attempt, which is tied for 6th. In the NFL, as far as rush defense goes. That's about it as far as the matchups go, as far as the things that I was able to see. Let's get into betting trends real quick. Both these teams are actually 4-7 against the spread this season. The Rams fail to cover by only 3.2 points per game, so they're only failing to cover by a field goal. However, there were 2 games this season that they were favored by 17 points. That was against the Rams and the Texans. So those are some big spreads to try and cover. The Jaguars are failing to cover by 4.5 points per game. They were only about 1 point underdogs to the Falcons, and they lost by 6. The Jaguars are 2-2 against the spread on the road. The Rams are 2-3 against the spread at home. And as far as over-under goes, this is actually kind of interesting. This is going to be fun. The Rams are 6-4-1 on the over, but they've only had 2 overs in their last 7 games. So the over-under for this game is set at 47.5. That could move a little bit depending on where the money falls. The Jaguars have 9 under games in the 11 games this season. So the Jaguars 9-2 on the under, 81.8% on the under, and they have 6 straight games on the under. Do I expect that trend to continue? Yes. not by way of the Jaguars defense stopping the Rams, but by way of the Jaguars offense failing to score. I see this game being 31-13 in favor of the Rams. The Jaguars are awful traveling to the West Coast. They have not won on the West Coast since they beat the Oakland Raiders back in, 2018. They have not beaten NFC teams since the Giants in week one of 2018. They have not beaten an NFC West team this year. They've not beaten an NFC team this year. Just everything is going against the Jaguars, which is exactly why they'll win. Am I right? But no, 31-13 in favor of the Rams in this matchup coming up on Sunday for week 13. But I would be cautious if I'm the Rams moving forward because they don't have an easy division. They have a lot to be. There's a lot left to be desired for the Rams. As for the Jags, they do have some games coming up that I could see them winning. However, I would not hold my breath. I would not put my money on it. I go Rams in this matchup. Please leave your thoughts and comments in the comments section of this video. Please subscribe. Like I always say, thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to episode 119 of the Pujie Podcast. Go enjoy your start to December. Go enjoy some college football championship games this Saturday, and then enjoy some NFL football on Sunday. But whatever you do, go make this world a better place and take care. Thanks.